I could shop all day at Depot. I do, bro. And I'll load up the cart, and then I'll leave everything there, bro.
Oh, you're the one.
I'm the one.
Yeah, I do.
It justifies paying for the guy that's, you know, putting things back, bro. Right? But I had an idea, bro. Now you mentioned that sometimes I have ideas, and I wonder if they would work, but I don't know. But I say, what if I had a store? I know ladies like to shop, but men don't like to shop. So I would put a room, you know, with several TVs, popcorn, refreshment, yeah, whatever you want. What do you want? That way, ladies could shop and men could stay there. Where you at? He's over there. Just get the credit card. That's all they need. Amen. I invite you tonight to the book of Matthew, please. St. Matthew chapter 6. St. Matthew chapter 6, please. Excuse me. It's good to be back. Preach the word of God unto you. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read a portion of this chapter. It says, take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. And therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, as we look into thy word, we ask again, Lord, your blessings upon it. Thank you, Father, for this church, Brother Joe, Lord, and Hilburn Drive Grace Baptist Church. It's always a blessing, Lord, to hear the testimonies, to hear, Lord, how you keep your people, O Lord. And, Lord, again, as we look into thy word tonight, we pray you give us understanding. Lord, it's all vain. We don't want just intellectual, O Lord, understanding. And, Lord, we want to hear and see, O Lord, these things which are called the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, bless us tonight, please. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage of Scripture, our Lord deals with practical theology. That is the practical side of our religion. If you notice, please, in verse number one, he deals with alms. And that could be translated our righteousness. And these are, therefore, in verse number two, our alms, verse number six, prayer, and verse 16, fasting. It is a given that we as Christians will do these things. But now, Jesus warns about a hidden leaven. Leaven, again, is that which elevates, that which puffs us up. And he warns us about doing these things. Again, the setting, and really what my main goal is to perhaps tonight touch upon the prayer which he speaks about in verses 9 and so on. But before that, what Jesus stresses in this passage of scripture is that God is our Father. And this Father which is ours is in heaven. This Father again sees in secret. And this Father again is in secret. This Father that Jesus speaks about knows. This Father that he speaks about forgives and cares. And this Father that we know is so good that gives unto us good gifts. This is the Father that Jesus reveals in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And now, when it comes to prayer, he warns us about doing our alms, doing our prayer, and doing our fasting before men. Again, the setting is this. It is a theatrical setting. And he warns us about that. About setting up stages to be seen of men. The word, again, in verse number 2, I believe, he says, and it's a very difficult word, a very hard word to digest. He says, it's called hypocrites. Now, hypocrite is one who acts, plays the part of. He's not really the person. He's an actor. It is taken from that Greek setting where the actor would put a mask on and portray someone that he is not. And Jesus says, now, when we pray, we shall not be as an actor. Not to seek the glory of men. If we seek the glory of men and we seek men's applause, then we have our reward. Now, he says, speaking of prayer. Again, he says, verse number 6, he says, but thou, when thou prayest. And the thing is here, before that he elaborates. He says, these men that supposedly have an urgency to pray, can't wait to pray. They give the impression that they have to pray in the corners. They have to pray in the streets. They're so prayerful, if you will. But in reality, it's all a show to be seen of men. He teaches us those prayers really are not heard by our Father, which is in heaven. But he says again, verse 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, and again, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And then again, he tells us what not to do. Again, let's look at verse 7. He says, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. We don't need them. Why? Because, again, he says the Gentiles, they think that they shall be heard, or they're heathen, excuse me. And again, let me say this. The heathen, the hypocrites, are the Pharisees in this context. Yeah. The religious people. What a word to use of them. Remember, they were supposedly the creme of the creme when it comes to religion. They portray a false righteousness before men. But it was all a show. It was all to be seen of men. And God despises that. It always said, God loves truth in the inward, in the heart. Psalm number 51. But they portrayed, and as Jesus puts it in another passage of scripture, they put a cloak, a false, prose false. That is, a front foot or a front of light. They cloaked themselves, they appeared to be righteous, but inwardly they were ravenous wolves. And they did this to be seen of men. Their prayer were an abomination unto the Lord. They were not heard in heaven. So Jesus tells us this, verse 7. He says, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So then, why do we pray? Why do we pray if God already knows what we have need of? Because he says to do so. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful revelation Jesus gives of the Father. It has to do with our relationship to the Father through Jesus Christ. Beloved, here, let me, again, let's look at this, what is normally called, again, I'm getting my English and my Spanish mixed up. Excuse me for this. The Lord's Prayer. We're going to look briefly at this Lord's Prayer tonight. Remember the context. He says, verse number 9. After this manner, therefore. Doesn't say to repeat word for word. He doesn't prohibit us from reading or saying this prayer. But it's a model prayer. And in it, we have, may I divide it in three parts, we have the invocation, verse 9. We call upon God, our Father which art in heaven. Secondly, we have the petitions, which are 6 or 7, depending on how you want to divide them. The first three have to do with God. Hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Secondly, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And if you notice, these first three have to do with God. The next have to do with our needs. And it's interesting that in between our spiritual needs and spiritual protection, he would pray for our daily needs. Notice, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I think some of us may understand when he says, our Father which art in heaven. Jesus draws our attention immediately to God's dwelling place. He dwells in heaven. It's a wonderful thing that we can call on him, the Father of lights, the Father of mercies. Doesn't matter where you are at, Jonah in the fish's belly. Doesn't matter, Hezekiah, sick unto death. Doesn't matter, you can call upon the Lord. He's in heaven. Jesus stresses this, amazing. The most poor, the most simple may enter the place of his dwelling. As a matter of fact, the arrogant and the proud shall not stand in his sight. But the humble, the poor in spirit, the pure in heart, may by faith enter heaven. And Jesus draws our attention. And we understand this. We understand that our focus, again, when we come to pray, is not our brethren. And we've got to be careful with that. And when we pray, we seek not the approval of our brethren around us, but that we seek to have an audience with God. Now, it doesn't say we should not pray in public. It doesn't say we can't pray out loud. We got to guard ourselves of this leaven, this level of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to be seen of men. But he draws our attention again to our Father, which art in heaven. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. But do we understand what the next petition? When he says, hallowed be thy name. We understand prayer is unto God and to God alone. We understand that prayer is to be secret so that God is the only one who we seek. Prayer is worship. Prayer doesn't need to be long to be heard. And prayer need not be repetition. We understand it. And we understand that prayer and acceptance of our prayers are based on the merits of Jesus Christ, the righteous. Prayer is by faith. And prayer is through faith of the Holy Ghost. You know, beloved, I find this, that God never discourages his people from praying. You know? On the contrary, he rebukes Israel for not calling unto him. You have not called me. I mean, they called to Baal, they called to Moloch, they called to this, they offered to this, but they never called upon God. How should I pray? What hinders my prayer? Well, he says, verse 14, if you forgive men not their trespasses, your Father, Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not, excuse me, verse 15, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a hindrance. Let's remind ourselves, God is not impressed by our eloquence. God is not impressed by the longevity of our prayers. God is not impressed, beloved, with our big fancy words. God is not impressed with that. God, free us from formality, coldness, and may our hearts be aware that we stand in His presence when we come to pray. That's what Jesus teaches us when He says, Father, which art in heaven. Now, what is it that we ask? What does He teach us when He says, Hallowed be Thy name? Hallowed be Thy name. Well, we sang the song. We sang, there is none holy like the Lord, and there isn't. Glorious in holiness, wonderful in praises, doing wonders. So holy is our Lord. We can add to His holiness. His name is hallowed. Bible speaks of His holiness. Everything about Him is holy. His name, His throne, His Son, His Spirit, His Scriptures, His holy place. All things associated with this person are holy or called holy. His servants are called holy angels. Holy men of God. Holy apostles. His people are called to live or rethink and change their manner of living according to be ye holy, for I the Lord am holy. Now, that being said, the world doesn't know God and doesn't desire to glorify God. They're not interested in holiness or holy things. The Apostle John puts it like this. They are of the world and the world heareth them. Now, what are we praying for? What are we praying when we say, Hallowed be Thy name? Well, I'm praying this. I'm praying according to the purpose of creation. That is, that God's name may be glorified. I'm praying according to the purpose of the church. That in all things God may receive all the glory. That's the way I start my prayer. God, in everything I do, everything I say, I want Your name to be glorified in my life. Or as Habakkuk put it, that the whole earth be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what I desire. Isn't that what Jesus prayed for? Yes, sir. Shall we look at that scripture, please, in John chapter 12? There's so much in this prayer, I don't propose that I'll finish teaching what all is contained in this verse or this simple prayer of our Lord. Do we understand what we're saying when we're saying, Hallowed be Thy name? And oh, here's a more difficult one. What do we mean when we say, Thy kingdom come? What do you understand? Well, I don't know. Then why do you say it? Why do I say it? What is it that I'm asking for? You ever ask yourself, what is it that I'm asking for when I say, Thy kingdom come? What am I looking for? Why did Jesus say that? But first, number one, John chapter 12, verse 28. John chapter 12 and verse 28. Father, glorify Thy name. Amen. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. John 17, please. And again, I don't need to look at all these verses. Just some. John 17. He says, verse 1, Father, the hour is come. And notice how the same example, glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. He's speaking about the cross. Amen. Should not that be our desire, beloved, that in all things whatsoever I do glorify God?
Amen.
We've been learning the book of Philippians. Do all things without murmuring, and I don't know the English version, but English, the Spanish is something like murmuring or and disputing. Murmuring is that onomatopoeia, but that silent murmuring against God's love, providence,
yes,
dealings, as the children of Israel did. The other one is dialogismos, reasoning, intellectual reasonings against God. He says, Paul says to the Philippians, do all things without murmuring and complaining, that ye may be irreproachable, irrebukable, blameless sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in this world. So it doesn't have to be the great things, if you will, but everyday things. Father, help me to glorify your name, that you may receive all the glory. We should seek his holiness, his righteousness first.
Amen.
We should acknowledge that his name is holy and pray others may see that. Wouldn't you want to see, again, beloved, others see the glory of God in his holiness? I mean, Brother Joe spoke about it. He's altogether lovely. He's altogether glorious. That men may see. They may see his glory, Brother Joe. They may see the king as Isaiah saw him, sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. And John says, this spake Isaiah when he saw him in his glory. I acknowledge his name is holy. And I pray others likewise would see him as holy. But also I worship and admire and I love his holy name. But I desire also that his name may be known. Are you enamored with this God, holy God? That it will drive you, stimulate you, that others may know his name.
Amen, amen.
Who is this that you speak about? It's a terrible thing to profane or bring shame to the name of our God. God showed Moses and Aaron that he would be sanctified by those who approach him. So we don't take his name as something shallow, something trivial. Rather, we seek to hallow his name. Here on earth, his name is holy. His name is reverent. His name is everlasting. His name is fearful. Beloved, may God's name be known and may God be glorified. 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, (clears throat) Let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God, in all things, see that? In all things,
amen,
may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
There
you go. Amen. Well, sir, what do you do? That's another scripture. What shall we do? Eat, drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Again, let me bring back what we spoke about this morning at our church. You know, the word that Paul uses there, that you may be blameless and harmless. Remember, that's the King James Version. Sons of God. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That word crooked is word scolios, where we get the word scoliosis.
Right.
It's bent. It's bent to evil. It's crooked. But in the midst of that, the sons of God ought to shine.
Amen.
Do all for the glory of God. Or in other places, Paul says, doing everything as unto the Lord.
Amen.
So when I pray, Brother Joe, hallowed be thy name, I'm putting to practice what I am praying for. I want God's glory,
amen,
to cover the earth. Don't you want that?
Yes.
We have some people, and I'm not going to say where they came from, okay? They're from the Middle East. Muslims. Muslims came to our church. Muslims came to our church, brother.
Well,
the sad thing is, the area where one came from was once where the seven churches of Asia are, or were. 98% Muslim now. So the earth has not been covered with the knowledge of God as the earth covers the sea.
Right.
As the waters cover the sea, excuse me. And I said, oh God, what a privilege. I don't know what God may do with these young people that come and hear God. I mean, here's amazing. I'm preaching in Spanish. Somebody's translating into English. I mean, they barely understand English. They barely speak English. And I'm like, but to God, there is no barrier. That's the God I serve. That's the God whom I preach.
Yeah.
That's the God whom we serve.
Amen.
So what if their name is Ahmad or Ali or whatever? It makes no difference. God has shown me not to call any man common or unclean. I mean, you know what, beloved? Out of those that came, some are still going to Bible studies. My daughter called and said, Dad, pray for them. They're going to a Bible study. And I said, hey, from the corner of Keats and Udo, that's what's amazing. That's what's amazing, Brother Joe. By few or by many, it doesn't matter. What do you want? I want them to have a knowledge of the true God.
Amen.
That God may be glorified. Mm-hmm. And that was the dilemma again, brother, in the time of Malachi. They thought, the Jews thought, if we stop worshiping God, who's going to worship God? Incense shall be offered to His name from every nation. It's not limited. And that's what I pray. Thy name be hallowed. How does Jesus pray? That the whole world may know Him as revealed by the Scriptures. that we may live according to His will. Beloved, this is what Jesus prayed before His passion. That man would know the true God.
Amen.
You see, this world knows nothing about the living and true God. And it burned in my Savior's heart the fact that the world did not know the Father. They had a false notion of who God is.
Yeah.
There's the religious people, they portray a God. But that's not the God of the Scriptures. All their fancies about Him are wrong. They have not known the Father. And they have not known Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And this is true, beloved, from the highest educated individual to the ignorant man, the most religious to the most atheist. But Jesus prays that the Father may be glorified. But He also prayed this, that the world may believe. Jesus said that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. So what if God saves the whole world?
Come on, that's what we want.
So what if He does?
Amen.
Does that make your theology wrong? So what if He does? Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed, beloved, that the world may believe that the Father sent Him.
Yes.
That burned upon His heart. That the world may know that the Father sent them. The world had not known Thee, He says in one place. Beloved, though this prayer of Jesus in John 17 was offered 2,000 years ago or so, the world still has not known God. Again, the gospel has advanced and has reached most of this world. But again, there are still areas, there are still dark places. And you know what? Before you point your finger at the Middle East, it's our own nation. It's our own nation. They don't know God.
No.
I don't.
No, sir.
We should be consumed for the glory of God, the advancement of His kingdom, the knowledge of His will. So Jesus, naturally, let's go back to Matthew, please, after that He teaches us to pray that His will, or excuse me, that His name may be hallowed or glorified, sanctified. The next one naturally follows. Because if you want that, Matthew 6, He says, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And He says this again. Notice what He says in verse 33. Seek ye first. First. The strict petitions first have to do with God and His kingdom.
Amen.
Seek these things first, and your food, your clothing, everything else shall be supplied in abundance to you.
Right.
I will, brother.
Yes, amen. Amen.
So now, what is it that I'm asking for? When I pray, Thy kingdom come. It was something novel in the time of Jesus. What do you mean about the kingdom? And again, I'm not going to raise up too many, I hope. So what am I praying for? I don't want to offend anyone. I'm just going to say what I studied and what I've learned. And if you have questions, please ask Brother Joe. No, you can ask me. After all, this kingdom which was, I believe, announced, prophesied in Daniel, was inaugurated in the time of Jesus. Something new. Something prophesied of a kingdom that shall never be destroyed and not given to another nation, a kingdom that's an everlasting. And there's a silence between Malachi for years. And all of a sudden you see this man clothed, camel's hair, eating locusts, wild honey. And he says, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do you mean? We are the children of the kingdom after all. But then he tells them, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able from these stones to raise up sons unto himself. What do you mean? We be Abraham's seed. This event is so marked in history that Luke gives us, and again, when this began. Luke chapter 1, will you? He says, oh, but I ran out of time. I heard a beep beep. Does that mean I ran out of time? Is that what they do to you? They beep you? All right. Let me just, again, I'm just, there's so much there, Brother Joe, in this. But let me just, again, note, we know what, or begin to know what, hallowed be thy name. But what about thy kingdom come? And I'll finish with that. But says Luke in chapter 1, it is so, excuse me, I'm sorry, let me get some. Luke chapter 3, excuse me, verse 1. This kingdom, which was a mystery, and is still a mystery to some, it's not defined. The Bible doesn't say this is the kingdom of God. So that's why when you say, thy kingdom come, what am I asking for? What am I asking for, Brother Joe? Notice. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and of the regions of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. That's when he began. Yep. What is John preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yep. Now, John is put in prison. And remember, he warned the Pharisees. He warned those who flee. Who had warned you of the wrath to come? I mean, they thought they were righteous. They thought they were good. And remember, Jesus says, don't be like unto them. He always spoke against them. In another case, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you shut up the kingdom of heaven. Others don't go in and you won't go in yourselves. So John is put in prison. And Jesus picks up immediately and begins to preach the same message. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do you mean? What could this mean? What is this kingdom you're talking about? I mean, we thought we were all right, Brother Joe. We were sons of Abraham.
There we go. Come on.
We can trace our lineage all the way back. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father.
There you go.
It's so stirred up that time when Jesus and John preached that it brought one man to Jesus. And he came by night. And he says, now there's two men I believe that, as the scriptures revealed, were just and righteous, and they were looking for or expecting the kingdom. One of them is Joseph of Arimathea, and the other one is Nicodemus. It stirred him up. What do you mean? I'm in danger. What do you mean? It's not enough to be Abraham's seed. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect.
Amen.
For that there are not all Israel which are after the flesh. And that is, brother, even if they're born of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, doesn't guarantee.
Come on,
for those that were once not his people shall be called children of the living God.
Yes.
But it stirred up Nicodemus. He expected a kingdom which would deliver them, and the Jews did also, from Rome's regime. They expected a physical blessing. That's not what Jesus is preaching. Instead, he's saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. What do you mean a net? What voice is cast into the sea?
Yes.
And it drags both evil and good. And that is an illustration that says, in the kingdom, evil and good are going to remain until the end. When there's a final separation. We didn't understand that. Well, it's like the tares in the field. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The evil are the sons of the evil one. Let them grow together. Until the harvest. Until the end of the age. And then there's going to be a separation. But they didn't understand. They thought when Messiah came, that would be the end of the wicked, brother. That's what John preached. Repent ye. His hand is in his hand. He shall thoroughly purge his floor. Even John thought that, brother. So it stirred up the religious people, and it brings this one man. And let me close with this scripture, brother. I'm not going to get to it. What am I praying for? Thy kingdom come. Obviously, I'm praying, brother, the advancement of God's kingdom.
Yeah.
the conquering of the word of the kingdom. Because he said it begins as small as a grain or as a seed of mustard. It's the least. It's the smallest. It's minute. It's hid. But when it groweth, it's the greatest. When I pray thy kingdom come, I realize it started as a minute thing, a small thing. Jesus, 12 disciples, and it's growing and it's growing. And I want to see it advanced. I want God to be known. I want God to be glorified. I want His name to be praised. Do you want that?
Yes.
I'm praying that the destruction of the kingdom of darkness and its king may come to pass.
Yes.
I'm praying that salvation and translation of sinners to the kingdom of His Son.
Amen.
But I'm also praying, brother, the glorious return of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just close with this. In John 3, there's so much here. Why did it stir up? And by the way, the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of His dear Son.
Yes, it is.
The glad tidings. This is the word of the kingdom right here. That's what it says. That's what it says. Read your book.
Amen.
It says clearly, this is the word of the kingdom. It is sown upon four different soils.
That's right.
Sadly, on one hand, three of those type never produce. But Jesus is not teaching that. He's teaching the success, the power this word has on the hearers. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Brother, you didn't have an interest in this book. Well, did you? I didn't. I had no interest in this book.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, brother, that we would accept it as the word from the King.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the word of the King.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
There's a kingdom coming. It's here already.
Right.
It's within you.
Right.
What are the evidences? Let me give you one evidence. He said I could preach 30 minutes for every minute we started after 6:30. Christ is enthroned. And that's all you need as evidence. Well, how do you know Christ is enthroned? Because the word says.
Amen.
David's not ascended. But God raised His Son.
Yes, He did.
And has poured out this which now you hear and see.
Amen.
Pentecost, the Spirit of God. Him being, beloved, exalted by the right hand of God. God has made Him Christ and Lord.
Yes.
But it was novel in the time of Nicodemus. So he comes. What is this preaching that John is doing? What is this preaching that Jesus are doing? I never heard of it. He comes by night. And let me just read and we'll finish. Verse 3. John 3. I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot see. The problem is not your physical eyes. It's not your physical ear. It's not your physical heart. Why do you speak to them in parables? Because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither perceive. This people's heart has become gross, hardened. They can't see. They can't hear. So when he tells them the parable about the tares, he says, so shall it be at the end. They shall gather the tares and shall be cast in the furnace that burneth with fire. Dear friend, you don't see yourself burning. That's the truth. That is the kingdom. You don't see yourself burning eternally, do you? You don't see a final separation. But Jesus says it's real. That's the kingdom of God. It's now. The word is conquering. The word of the kingdom goes forth. Some receive it. Bring forth fruit, 160, 30-fold. Some, as soon as they hear it, immediately come at the enemy and snatch at that which was sown in their hearts. Other, unknown, with joy receive it, but when tribulation cometh, and because of the word, they are offended. And others, the cares of this world, choke out the word. You can't see. You can't see the kingdom unless you're born again.
Amen.
You can't see the king. You can't see the necessity of being born again. You can't see. So he tells them, the disciples, blessed are your eyes.
Yes.
For they see. Your eyes which hear. Hearts which perceive. Many, many righteous men. And prophets and just men have desired to see and hear what now you hear and see.
Right.
We're unable.
Yes, sir.
And then in another case he says, I thank thee, Father, God of heaven and earth. You hid these things. You hid them from the wise. You hid them from the prudent. And you reveal them unto babes. This kingdom, beloved, is one where we need repentance. You can enter it. What do I need to do, Nicodemus? You need to be born again. You need to repent. You must repent. That's what John said. That's what Jesus said. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. New birth. It's not just mere words. Jesus said, many will come to me and say it that day, Lord, 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 I never knew you. So let me ask you. Jesus revealed that the nature of this kingdom is not of this world. And he revealed that a new birth and a new nature are necessary. They're not exceptions. They're necessary to enter or see the kingdom of God. Now, some of you don't know this, but I'm a naturalized citizen. And I'll close. What does that mean? Remember Paul? Before the guard, remember that? Are thou a Roman citizen? I was freely born. Well, I may say, with great sum obtained I this privilege. I had to pay to become a citizen, right? There's only two options, right? You have to be born in the U.S. of A. That's it. That's it. Or, as actually, pay for it. Well, what if I... See, I had everything. I could be dragged into the military. I had to sign up at 18, brother. I had to pay my taxes. You know, that's the only question they stressed when I took my citizenship test. Have you paid your taxes? Has there ever been a time where you never pay your taxes? Was there ever a time that you thought about not paying your taxes? And I'm like, it's all about the taxes. It has nothing to do with anything else, but do you pay your taxes?
About the money, man.
That's all it is. But that's why they're required for becoming a U.S. citizen.
Right.
I had no choice. It's so with the kingdom of heaven. You don't make up your own. Well, this is, I think I'll try it this way. I'll think I'll do this. I'll start coming to church, brother. That'll do it. I'll reform my life. That'll do it. I'll stop using that language. I'll do this. Beloved, you must be born again. Then you'll see the kingdom and the king of this kingdom. Well, I ran out of time. Quickly. Time runs so fast. Thy kingdom come. And one day, yes, it's here. And one day, it shall be revealed. Amen.